We're getting close to the end of this thing. We went verse by verse through this whole book of Revelation, and now we're in chapter 17, and we're getting down to verse number 5. It was where we left off, and so we're just to reiterate, we're seeing the he's going through the part where Babylon is going to be destroyed. So we're seeing these things, different views. You got to realize the book of Revelation is not written chronologically. You know, a lot of people try to read it like that, but you have to realize that he's honing in on different aspects of things that go on. And so when you get verse number 1, down the bottom of that verse, he talks about the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. What happens is you get a lot of these commentators, you know, and they'll say, well, this means this and this means this other thing. I need to remind you that the Bible says of itself, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. You cannot take the Bible and just say, this is what I believe this means. This is if you don't know what it means according to the scripture, the best thing to do is just, well, for lack of a better word, keep your mouth shut on the subject. Now, we can say, I'm going to spiritualize this and make an application of something, but the application is not the interpretation. You've got to get that. Because when it said, sitteth upon many waters, we know that that is defined by the text in verse number 15. It says, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So it's saying she's literally this mother of harlots, and this eventual is going to be a one world religion is what the world is actually going to culminate in by this time period. It says that it's over all these nations and tongues and peoples and multitudes. It's sitting above them. So what you have is the world is going to a one world religion, a one world government, and a one world currency. Now, if you can't see that the world is trying to do that today, you may just have your head in the sand, because that is what the world is trying to do with its currency and the governments and stuff. So that the Bible's true, but you need to see what this thing is talking about according to what the Word of God says in verse 2. We've already talked about this, just to reiterate. It's drunk with the wine of her fornication. And so when someone's drunk, they're controlled by another substance. And we went over verses in Romans and stuff like that. They're filled with things. And those things would control you. Envy, lust, these things control you. And she's literally drunk with that. Why? Because she's joined in with everybody. That's what you're seeing now with this whole world system wants to just erase divisions that are laid out in the Bible and say, let's just all get together under one common thing. We can all just get under this one common thing. Look, I can talk to people about different issues and you can believe this, that, and other. But the Bible teaches you who to divide from over there. The Bible tells you some people, as far as in the worship circles go, I can't have that kind of fellowship with you. Why? I'll just give you one verse that you're familiar with. I'm just telling you there's a proper way to divide, and it's in the sermon today some too, if I ever get to it. But the Bible says, and you don't have to turn there, but Romans 16 verse 17 says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Now, it doesn't say try to talk them into your way. Why? It says avoid them. Why? Most people who've made up their mind, you're not going to... Look, I love sayings, and y'all know this. A man that's convinced against his will is of the same opinion still.
That's right.
I'm not going to sit there and argue. I'll tell you what the Bible says, and I'll give you the verse.
That's right.
And the Bible says interpretations belong to God in the scripture, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. And once I've told you what the Bible says, if the Lord can't convince you with a word, who do I think I am to try to convince you outside of that?
That's right.
Okay, so we're looking at what the Word of God says, and he's telling you about these heads and these horns, and it's defined later on in this very chapter here. And so in verse 4, the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. Now, We looked at some of that last week. But what it is religion is telling you here in a little bit that it originated with Babylon all the way back in Genesis. And it's decked out. And we looked at how Satan was decked out over in Ezekiel. And what it does is it looks beautiful on the outside, but just like the Sadducees and Pharisees, on the inside, they're full of dead man's bones. On the inside, it's just a form of godliness. It looks wonderful. That's why people are fascinated with buildings and everything else. And the focus nowadays is not on the inside. That goes back to people. There's nothing wrong with dressing nice. I got a suit on this morning. But at the same time, that is not what it's all about. It's supposed to be on the inside. What it is, we're living in a society nowadays where everything has to be beautiful and everybody has to look young and all this type of stuff. No, you don't. Why? We grow older. Let me tell you this. I'm just going to tell you, I'm not going to get a facelift one of these days. However my body looks when I get older, that's just how I'm going to look. Now, I believe this. I believe that you ought to take care of yourself and your diet and drink water and all this type of stuff. But however I look when I get 90, if I make it to 90, that's just how I'm... Some of these people look so crazy. They'll have them think, and man, their face is just stretched up. You know, and they're looking like, what in the world? Well, you know what? People are fascinated. Now, how does that relate to religion? Religion is run by the devil, and the devil looks beautiful, but he's not on the inside, see. That's what it's trying to get. Everything that nowadays, it's all moving toward everything's got to be beautiful when the Lord Jesus Christ teaches you it's on the inside of what counts. How does it get to this? Because everybody's looking on the outward appearance when God looketh on the heart. So it tells you there, it has all these names of blasphemy. Okay, when you run that word blasphemy up there, you're going to run into, I think the first mention was over in Kings and stuff like that. But that's, for instance, they said the Lord Jesus Christ, so they said, we're going to stone you for blasphemy because he was saying he's God. Well, he is God. But they didn't believe it, but they said that was blasphemy. Well, over in like the book of Kings and stuff like that, it talks about blasphemies because these false religions say that they're of God when they're not. Well, their names of blasphemy is they say, this is Christianity, this is Christianity, this is Christianity. Look, nowadays, there's all kind of people who say they're Christians.
Right, brother.
When the Bible teaches you that a Christian is somebody who has trusted the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what you say you are. There's a lot of people that say, look, I can say I'm a dog. I can identify as a dog. That don't make me a dog. There's people who identify as so-and-so. Well, I want to go to some of these restaurants and identify as a senior citizen then. Get the discount. I identify as a military veteran. I want the discount. You can't do that. Okay, well, see, what you're seeing is the names, there's many names that saying they are a God. They're of God, but they're not. It's under all, that's like churches. This church is of God, this church of God, this church of God. Well, do you know if the Lord had put in there, the biblical church is going to be named so-and-so, everybody would name their church that. You know, you got some of these crazy Baptists, just as loony. They'll say, well, you know, John the Baptist was the first Baptist. No, he was not. He said John the Baptist because he was baptizing to manifest Christ to Israel, John 1:31. And you got people that, you know what they do? They just pull stuff out of their hat. You can't do that with the Bible. Okay, so what's that? It's in the Bible, a believer is somebody who has trusted the finished work of Christ on the cross. Now, this thing here is saying it's something it's not. So when it said in verse 5, and upon her forehead was a name written, mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. Now, why does it say the mother of harlot? She was the one that everything else came out of. The mother of. She gave birth to the rest of the harlots. Okay? And abominations of the earth. Now, let's start off with the forehead. Look at Jeremiah chapter 3. And look, all I'm here today to do is I got to remind you of this. I'm just a guide in the Scriptures to tell you what the Scriptures say about themselves. It is not my business to spiritualize everything. I've heard, that's like hearing a little bit, we talk about Babylon a little bit. I've heard people say that's New York City. No, it's not. I've heard people say it's the USA. It's not the U. You can't just say. It says Babylon, but you know it really is so and so. It's Babylon. Now, I've got something here as y'all turn to this, and I'm going to prove to you today that you better go by the Bible. Prophetically speaking, that which hath been is going to be again. And so I just, out of curiosity, I looked this up, and I got a whole article on this thing. But it says Babylon, this is from 2022, Babylon is coming back to life with its famed Ishtar Gate to be restored by this summer. A New World Monuments Fund project in conjunction with the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad aims to repair Iraqi cultural heritage as part of the Future of Babylon project. They're pouring millions and millions and millions of dollars to make that a hub again for major commerce. And people say, well, you know, Babylon was destroyed. So I'm going to show you here in just a little bit that cannot be the fulfillment, because there's verses all through the text that says it will never be inhabited as far as future goes. Well, it's inhabited right now. You can't see, that's why a lot of these prophetical teachers, so-called, they will skip the other part of the verse. Look, God is not a liar. If he said it will never be inhabited, there's going to have to be a time where it says it actually comes to pass, it's never inhabited. Right now, there are inhabitants over there. It's going to be rebuilt according to the Bible. It's not my opinion. People say, I just can't see that coming. You're just going to have to walk by faith that the Word of God says it. It says it. There's all kind of things that people couldn't believe is coming to pass now. And it's right there in the Bible. So I'm just telling you that we've got to be Bible believers. And if you're going to do that, you got to walk by faith. The only way to walk by faith is by going by what the Word of God said. But like this forehead, look at Jeremiah 3 verse 3. It says, therefore, the showers have been withholding, and there hath been no latter rain. And thou hast a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed. Now, what's that telling you about the, she had these names of blasphemy, and it said this thing was written on her forehead. That means she's not ashamed about all the things she's doing. It's out in the open by this time. If she has a whore's forehead, here's prostitutes just walking around, and guess what? They're supposedly dressed beautiful, but on the inside, they're full of dead men's bones. That's showing you a picture. Yeah, they're dressed up. But look what they're leading you to. Okay, well, they're not ashamed. They'll just walk around like that, half naked. Okay, it's giving you a verse right here showing you, thou refusest to be ashamed. Well, you see the world leading to this very thing. One of these days, it'll lead to that thing. And thank God, we know the Bible teaches that we're not going to be here for that. But some people say, well, you just scared. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm glad that the Lord has got that taken care of. I'm not appointed to wrath. And that's called the time of wrath. But anyway, you can see if the world is not ashamed of its sin now, can you imagine where it's going to be as things wax worse and worse? There are things out in the open today that used to be in the closet years ago. And what I'm telling you is they're literally, they'll march out now. That, y'all, there's schools. I've read about schools that has after school Satan club. And they just advertise it like that. And I'm thinking, what kind of parent, even if you didn't believe in God, would you allow your child to go to an after school Satan club? Where are you going, son? Oh, we're going to after school Satan. I'd be like, hold on just a minute now. Where'd you say you was going? No, sir. But you know what? People just aren't ashamed. That's where this thing's leading to. Let me show you another thing about that. So her sins out in the open, this dress to cover up her filthiness. Let me show you one more while we're in that neighborhood. Look at Isaiah 47, just a few pages back. Isaiah 47. Watch the context of Isaiah. And I'll show you this thing about Babylon, because it's mystery. It don't say mystery Babylon. It says mystery, comma, Babylon the Great. So you got people, they'll say, well, it says mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon the Great. All right. And we'll go over some of that if I ever get time. Look at Isaiah 47. Look at verse 1. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. It's a daughter of Babylon. So we got the context here, being that, talking about Babylon. Look at verse 7. And thou saidst, I shall be a lady forever. Look at that arrogance. So that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thy heart, watch what they're saying, I am. See an example of these abominations. What does the Bible say about God? He says, I am. They're saying they're gods. You know, you got this teaching now with a lot of these. I think it's Benny Hinn. He may teach it. I know Kenneth Copeland teaches it. I think Jesse Duplantis, if I'm not mistaken, Jesse Duplantis teaches it. But they teach the little God. It's a little God's doctrine. And they say, we are gods. And you got these people that write books like The Power of I Am and stuff like that. That's blasphemous. You don't have the power of I Am in you. You don't have none of that. God is all powerful. Amen. We're supposed to be operating the power and strength of His might. You don't have any confidence in the flesh, the Bible says. I have no confidence in myself. You have to put confidence in God. Everything is supposed to get... Look, the Bible says He gets all the preeminence and all the praise. Nobody else is supposed to take the place of God in any shape. And they say, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. See, all this mother of harlots, she's got all kind of little harlots that she's giving birth to, and she makes out like nothing's going to happen to her. The Bible says she's going to be destroyed. So you got that going on, and you take that I am deal. You know what the devil said over in Genesis 3:5? He said, you shall be as God's knowing, giving you superior knowledge. You know what a lot of these cults teach? They teach that they give you superior knowledge on stuff. They'll enlighten you. No, we need the enlightenment of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing I want to be enlightened on. So you got some of these things here in the text. So that forehead is connected to not being ashamed. And I think there was another verse over in Revelation I wanted to give you. Revelation 18. We're going to go back and forth. Revelation 18 in verse number 7 says, how much she hath glorified herself. Remember, she says, that's what they say, I am. That's that false religion. And live deliciously. See, that's what living in pleasures, living deliciously. It says, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. But that's wrong, because it tells you in verse number 10, Babylon, that it says, verse 10, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. So what's the city? Babylon, again, the great city, great Babylon. Look at Revelation 17, verse 18. It tells you what the woman is. It's not my guess. This is what the Bible says. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Religion and government. See, the kings, the woman, the religion, they'll merge into one. Now, what's that? Daniel chapter number 3. You know what they did? They set up an image in the land of, in the plain of Shinar. Where's Shinar? That's Babylon. That's where it all started. It goes, everything goes full circle. See, what's going to happen is, the world will eventually get that religion that they're wanting. And it started off in Babylon, Genesis chapter 11, Nimrod. And he started that thing off. And let me tell you what you're going to see as we get there. This one historian, he explains it very well. So I want to make sure that I say this correctly. And then we'll go over some of these things about the Queen of Heaven. But it says, the system, because we're talking about Babylon being the mother of harlots, and you got to realize all false religion came out of Babylon. This is historical. It says the system of worship has its origin in the legend of Nimrod and his wife Semiramis. Nimrod, the great grandson of Noah, that's amazing to me. You know he knew better. Because if you've got that Adam Clark's chart that he did, it tells you who all live, you know, coincide. Because see, we just think they live and they die. You got to realize them people were living, some of them 900 years old. So a lot of their lives coincided together. It said he rebelled against God like his father Cush. Eventually, Nimrod was put to death for his evil deeds. And according to the ancient patriarchal system, parts of his body were sent to various cities as a warning. Now, his wife Semiramis fled, but spread the rumor that he had ascended to heaven, where he had become one with the sun. When Semiramis later gave birth to a son, she claimed that it was the reincarnation of her deified husband and that he had returned to save the human race. She was later deified as the mother of the sun god, and it was supposed she had ascended into heaven as the queen of heaven. This is historical, all of it. In the various cultures throughout history and around the world, the same basic deities have been worshipped under different names. That's why it says Mother of Harlots. Mother and child worship was the basis of ancient religions. In the various religions of the world, the same system of worship was perpetuated under different names. In Egypt, see, you're going to remember some of these things in the Bible. The mother and child were worshipped is Isis and Osiris or Horus. In India, Issa, I-S-I, and Iswara, I-S-W-A-R-A. In China and Japan, as the mother goddess Xingmu with child. In Greece, as Ceres or Irene, and I don't know how to pronounce this, Plutus, P-L-U-T-U-S. In Rome, as Fortuna and Jupiter, Peor. Now, you got to remember that. Rome, you remember in Acts where they said, hey, the great god Jupiter had fallen down. They talked about Jupiter in there. You got to remember that whole context of Rome and those gods and goddesses. And it says, or Venus and Andorinus. And in Scandinavia is Phrygia and Balder. The mother and child were worshipped in Babylon. Watch this. This is going to run you right back to the Bible. Ishtar and Tammuz. And in Phoenicia is Ashtaroth and Baal. You got all that in the Bible. Moreover, the child was worshipped as both husband and son of the mother goddess. Now, you've got all that coming back to the Bible. Now take your Bible and turn to Ezekiel chapter number 8. Ezekiel chapter number 8. We're talking about the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And that those abominations has to do with false gods. Ezekiel chapter number 8. Saying they're the real, saying this is the God you need to worship, but it's not the God of the Bible. Look, you can't worship anything that's not the God of the Bible. A lot of people say they have religion, but religion is a key. That's like the old saying, a lot of the old preachers used to say kingdom builders are bloody killers. Now, one reason why they used to say that is a lot of people saying they're going to fix the kingdom up for Christ to come back. You're not going to fix nothing up for Christ to come back. He will come back and fix it up himself. That's what the Bible teaches. So why you got all these things down through the years where religion, they kill each other. Why? They're trying to build the kingdom on their own and you can't do that. Look, that turned all of us into monsters. You imagine a bunch of manly men thinking, you know what? If we get this thing fixed up and we put down all rebellion, everybody don't believe like us, we'll get the kingdom set up and the Lord will come back. Man, that'd make a bunch of killers out of you. Just go up and say, let's get our militia together and go put this stuff down. Well, thank God we don't believe like that. I'm not forcing anybody to believe like me. But I'm just going to tell you what the Word said and you believe like the Word or not. All right, so Ezekiel 8, watch what it says. Let's start with the whole chapter is so good. Look what's going on right here, though, in verse 3. It says, and he put forth the form of a hand and took me by a lock of mine head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy. See those images, idols, which provoketh the jealousy. Now watch, look down at verse number 10. It says, so I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beasts. See, abominations are starting to come in. And all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. You better be careful about all these portraits and all this stuff about a heavenly thing. That's a dangerous realm to get in. I'm not saying you can't have portraits and stuff like that, but you gotta be careful about that stuff. That's one of the commandments about not having images of things in heaven, because we don't know what they look like. That's like a lot of people. They got this blonde hair, blue eye Jesus.
That's right.
Jesus did not have blonde hair and blue eyes. He was a Jew. He had brown hair and dark eyes and dark skin. My. Anyway, that's a whole other deal. All right. It says, look here. Look at verse 12. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen which the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. He sees you. Watch what it says, verse 13. He said unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. Remember the mother in all abominations of the earth? Abominations has to do with idols and worshiping false gods. It says, then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. They would weep for Tammuz for 40 days. See, that's supposedly the son of God, but see, you got that mother son. That's Tammuz with the son of Semiramis. Okay, it says, then said he unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see, watch this, greater abominations than these. Watch what they're doing at the bottom of 16 for time. It says, and they worship the sun toward the east. Now, verse 17, we're talking about abominations. Look, then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations, what they commit here, where they learned them from other nations? They were already there. The mother of harlots, of abominations of the earth, that's worshiping idols and things like that. You say, what's the carryover to us today? How could I apply this to me today? I tell you, the Bible says in Colossians 3, verse 5, covetousness is idolatry.
That's right.
A lot of people say, I don't worship idols. Okay, you worship yourself when you put yourself above others.
That's right.
And above God. You have to be careful about that thing. See, we say, that don't apply to me. Be careful. Sometimes people get selfish and they do these things. Now, I want to show you something else about that thing there. Now, one reason, turn to Jeremiah 44, maybe. Jeremiah 44. And I'm just telling you about these things here because you're going to see a lot of this stuff come back that used to be. And you see a lot of this female deity type stuff, mother stuff and all that. Well, what's that? A lot of religion has that. And one reason is because in Genesis 3, verse 15, the very first prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ was, he said, concerning Eve, he said, thy seed... Remember, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, was going to be against the seed of the devil. All right, so since Eve was a woman, he twists that thing and he gets a mother worship going on there to fight against the real religion. All the way down from the beginning of time, it's been a tale of two great cities, Babylon and Jerusalem, what the devil counterfeits what God does. All down through the ages. Now, you get this thing now, and you say, wonder why a lot of these... You ever notice a lot of this stuff just get more and more feminist today? Do you know, I've been reading for the past month or so now a good bit of stuff about diet and foods and stuff like that. And you know, I believe... Now look, this stuff... I'm just telling you this is my opinion that matches the Bible, I believe... is there's the men are becoming less manly, and I think the world is wanting it so. Because the man is there to protect his home and his wife and his children and make sure that things are the way they're supposed to be. So if society can get men less manly, they're not there to fight the things that they should fight. That's what men are there to do, to protect. They're the protectors. Okay, so what was it to match the coming religion? You get over here in Jeremiah chapter 44. Look at what's going on with false religion. It says, let's start with verse 16, because the whole thing is good, but there's no way I could read this whole chapter. It says, But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth. See, they're doing what they want to do, not the word of God, to burn incense unto the queen of heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes. See, the kings, everything joined together in a false religion. It says, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, for then we had plenty of victuals and were well and saw no evil. Verse 18, but since we left off to burn incense to the queen of heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. And we have burned incense to the queen of heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her. Did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? Now, see, where are the men at? You got this thing here where you're seeing this mother worship come in. And look at verse number, you need to read this whole chapter. Look at verse 28. Verse 28 is pretty good. Let me read verse 25 first. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye and your wives have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the queen of heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her. Ye will surely accomplish your vows and surely perform your vows. Therefore, hear ye the word of the Lord, all Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, saith the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God liveth. You see what's going on here? One more verse, 28. Man, I'm running out of time. Yet a small number that escape the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah, and all the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall know whose word shall stand, mine or theirs. Now, that's what's going on here, and that's what's going on in the book of Revelation. It's either the Lord's word, which is truth, or the program of the world, the flesh, and the devil, which is a lie. And the lie says, hey, this thing is beautiful. Look how it's decked out. Look how we are blessed. They're going to be saying things like that. Why? Because they're going to look how we have all this money if we're not blessed. You know what the Bible teaches you? That there are some who suppose that gain is godliness. Just because you see that there's gain somewhere does not mean that is of God.
That's right.
You know, a lot of people, well, I got this great job, or I got this. Well, for all I know, the devil could have gave you that job. Why? The devil don't care how much money you make as long as you're not doing things for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong with making money, but if you're making money to the fact of where you don't want to serve the Lord, there's a problem there.
There you go.
So, see, they're going to be in the blessings of the devil, and they're going to be rich, and guess what? It's going to be a worship where they've got a queen of heaven, and you know what's happening? People say, how could they all get together? They will name it just like they've named it Ishtar and Ashtaroth and all these type of things. You study Hinduism, Buddhism, all these other religions. All of them have one thing in common. They've got a queen of heaven, and they'll be able to bring all these religions under one in the name of, hey, we'll unify under this. We've at least got this common denominator. And you watch them do it while they're trying to do it now. Now, what do you have to do? You got to realize it's all in here. Way before it ever happened, God predicted it. And at least He knows what was going to happen way before it happened. And y'all, that gives me peace knowing I've got a God that knew all this stuff. Nothing's taken Him by surprise. So when you read this about the abominations of the earth, I was going to go with you. Let me see. Look at, because we'll go over Babylon next time. Let me give you one thing about this. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 29 about these abominations with a few more minutes we have. Deuteronomy 29. You see how many scriptures it is on this stuff? I mean, if Israel was checking their law and all that their scriptures have to say about these things, they could avoid it. But you know what they do? Just like everybody else in other generations, they don't check it. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse number 17 says, and ye have seen their abomination, their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. It says, lest there should be any among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God,
to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood.
Do you remember what we read in Revelation about wormwood? That star coming out and destroying all the water. You see how that stuff coincides together. Had they been reading, they would know. But you know what the problem is? They got their scriptures and they're not even checking their scriptures. You say, is there anything that happened to a king that got deceived? You go back and you read about Deuteronomy chapter number 17, and then you compare that with Solomon. Solomon had wisdom. But you know what he did? The Bible said in Deuteronomy 17 not to multiply horses. The Bible says in 1 Kings he multiplied horses. It said don't multiply wives, he multiplied wives. It said that you're supposed to read in the book of the law every day, and he did not read in the book of the law every day. So all the things, it said don't multiply silver, and he multiplied all that stuff. You know what? Everything that he was supposed to read in that book to keep him from doing those things, he done it for simply not reading. You say, how can people believe some of this crazy nonsense they're going to believe about something that was way back, all the way in Genesis 11? The fact that they don't go by the Word of God, they go by what a man says.
That's right.
And a man will say this, 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 and this, is, and they go, oh, wow, that guy, he's a good guy, I believe that. No, you better check it by the Bible.
That's right.
And thank God we got the Bible to go by. I know I've ran my mouth long enough. Let's close out. Brother Mike, if you would.